This is the Friends of History Debating Society. I'm John Batchelor. I welcome the historian Svetlana Lakova, author of The Spy Who Changed History and Spygate Exposed. We are watching John Durham, the special counsel, and documents produced in court anticipating the trial of one Washington attorney, Michael Sussman, who is a principal in both 2016 and 2017 in advancing false information about Donald Trump's campaign, about Donald Trump, both before the election when he was a candidate and after the election when he was inaugurated President of the United States. Svetlana, a very good evening to you. We have the court response to the dispute between John Durham's office and Michael Sussman's attorney, attorneys, several. The judge is Christopher Cooper, a United States District Judge, and he has been judicious. He's granted and he's denied both parties in details about their dispute. However, you're here to report what he's granted. The headlines in the U.S. were more confused than ever as to whether the judge is or is not permitting information to come into the courtroom that advances the Durham telling of the false information. Your measure of what the court has allowed. Good evening to you, Svetlana.
Good evening, John, and thank you so much for having me on. I think what the court has allowed is way more important than some of the headlines. And, you know, there's a lot of legalese going on. There's a lot of backwards and forwards, and it's very, very difficult for people to follow this amount of information. But we have to remember this is Washington, and this is an Obama-appointed judge. And yet, from what I've seen so far, you know, he's been very, very fair. So as a for instance, there were this headline saying that, you know, the judge didn't allow a specific tweet. And it is an important, you know, for the jury to see a specific tweet. And it is an important tweet, but he's saying, look, it's just duplication. And what, so he's not saying that the jury, you know, is not allowed to have this information. And the information is that Hillary campaign was endorsing, promoting, pushing the Alpha Bank Donald Trump story. He's saying that you already have this information, the jury will see this information some other way. Therefore, there's just no need. And you might agree or disagree with it, but that's what he rules. However, the things that he does allow are very, very interesting. So for example, and this is a big deal, and I'm reading the judge's order. The court will permit the government to put on evidence reflecting the FBI, the FBI's ultimate conclusions, which the court understands to be that the Alpha Bank allegations were unsubstantiated, as well as particular investigative and analytical steps the FBI took to reach them. Such evidence is relevant to the government's theory of materiality that Mr. Sussman, that's Hillary Clinton lawyer, alleged statement that he was not representing a client caused the FBI to handle the subsequent investigation differently than it otherwise would have. How that investigation ultimately proceeded and the conclusions it reached are relevant to that inquiry. So this is a huge deal because the Washington jury and American people as and the general public as a whole will know that the Alpha Bank allegations were not true and that the FBI said so. And that is really, really important
for people to realize. Why is it important that the judge permits the court, the special prosecutor, to establish that the FBI said this information was false? Well, how does that help?
Well, within the Sussman case, within the specific case, it's important because what the judge is saying is it had a material effect, that the fact that the allegations were false, because you will recall that the original charge is whether or not Sussman lied to the FBI when he said he was not representing Hillary Clinton or Rodney Joffe, the tech exec, when he went to the FBI and said he has this proof or alleged proof that Trump is in cahoots with Russia. And initially the question was, well, did he lie or did he not? It has now shifted because now a text message has been found where he did indeed say that he's not coming to represent any client. He's just coming as an expert to help the bureau, the FBI. So now the question shifted to materiality, whether or not the lie, which looks like it's kind of not really been doubted anymore by Sussman, but whether or not the lie was significant. And so the significance is that actually the allegation was false.
Right.
And that is how it's material.
And
let me restate it.
There's no longer a doubt that Sussman deceived, lied to the general counsel of the FBI, because there's an email in which he acknowledges that he's going to say, I represent myself, I'm a good citizen.
He might still try that, right? But it doesn't look like it's going to fly. Let's put it that way.
Did he know the information he was promoting, claiming to be a good citizen? Did he know that information was false? And the court will permit the prosecutor to introduce information that the FBI said it was false.
Right. And then, of course, he can still say, well, I didn't know that. The FBI might have found that out. But the fact that the information was false, of course, has a huge impact on the materiality. And then, of course, the effect on the rest of the world, not just the jury, is that it will be finally stated in open court
right.
that Donald Trump was falsely accused of being colluding with Russia.
There's a second part that the court permitted for the special prosecutor involving the man Jaffe, who's related to surveillance, some kind of surveillance of the candidate Trump and then President Trump. And Jaffe's name is now to be introduced into the court. Why is that significant?
So this Michael Sussman, who's this lawyer, he had two clients. Well, he had many clients, but two key clients for the purpose of this case. One is Hillary Clinton, and another client is Rodney Jaffe. And Rodney Jaffe is this tech expert. And he had a government contract with the Department of Defense, which the government asked him to help with securing the government systems from hacking or any other computer issues. And he is allegedly abused the data that he accessed as part of this government contract in order to participate in this joint venture against Donald Trump. And Jaffe happens to be another client of Michael Sussman. And Rodney Jaffe is the person who commissioned and brought the information which appeared to have shown that Trump had a special secret communications channel. And Rodney Jaffe said that it came from independent experts. And Rodney Jaffe himself is supposed to be an independent expert. Yet he happens to be also a client of Michael Sussman, the defendant, together with Hillary Clinton. So it looks like, you know, they were using this legal privilege, i.e. sharing the same lawyer, in order to pass information from one to another. And it looks like, and this is what some of the evidence that Special Counsel Durham has provided, that Rodney Jaffe was trying to please the VIPs, i.e. the Hillary Clinton campaign, when he was getting this data that apparently was showing that Trump was in cahoots with Russia. So there is an issue about how the data was created and collected. Was it true data, or was it somehow either manipulated or presented in a specific way in order to please Hillary Clinton?
And that data has the FBI or the CIA, one or the other, has established that that data was not genuine, that it was created, correct?
Correct. And Jaffe at this point is not charged. And so his current lawyers wrote in to say, well, why should my name be bandied around if I'm not charged. And the government responded to say, well, you're not charged yet, but you remain to be of interest to the investigation. And that means that there's another indictment potentially coming. And to which the lawyers for Joffrey responded, yes, but we're out of time because 5 years have passed since the last stated event in the indictment, which is the February 2017 trip that Michael Sussman took to the FBI with that data. And to which the special counsel responded that actually, there are two things. One is that the data that Joffrey provided, it hasn't finished with the CIA. It has been passed on to another government branch, which is the legislative branch. And I presume it can be read as it's been passed to the Armed Services Committee from some of the other information that I've been reading about. And therefore, once it gets passed to another branch, it doesn't stop, right? So February 17 is not actually the latest date. It's however long other government branches, including the legislative branch, and the FBI took to reinvestigate those allegations in 2017 onwards.
All right.
So therefore, February 2017 is not cut off.
Let's move to 2017. Okay. We've established that the court has permitted two important remarks to be established by the special counsel. One has to do with the question of whether the information that Sussman was offering was genuine or false. The second is that Mr. Joffe's name is to be used in court, linking the Sussman prosecution to the fact that Joffe was providing information that was created, not genuine. We move now to after the election. This is Sussman meets with the FBI before the election. However, Sussman meets with CIA after election, and that isn't yet before this court. It will be in future, we can presume, but we have to get there slowly. Svetlana Lakova, my analyst of Russiagate, the larger story. She's also the author of The Spy Who Changed History, about Stalinist days of sending saboteurs and agents and espionage against the United States, and Spygate Exposed, which is about the pretension of people to claim there were Russian agents recruiting and operating in the United States. The Spy Who Changed History was genuine. Spygate Exposed is about falsehood. When we come back, falsehood in 2017, after President Trump is inaugurated. This is the Friends of History Debating Society. I'm John Batchelor.